Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Sister Christian, oh, the time has come. And you know that you're the only one to say, okay.
Where you go? All right, welcome back to it. Already into the final hour. It's been a fun day here already. Hour still to go at the Marshes Sens Alumni Golf Tournament to benefit First Assist and Soldier On. It's a tough act to follow with the energy, but we'll try. Liam McGuire is emceeing the event. He hopped on in our last segment. We're going to kick off the final hour with our good friend Gord Wilson on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Color voice of the Sens on TSN 1200. Goody. I'd say you're missed, but you know. But how are you? What's going on?
Well, hang on here. You've just caught me at a bad time. I was just actually starting to text into the radio station. I might as well finish it. I started by saying, great show, fellas, and I'll just finish it here verbally. What a segment with Liam McGuire. I could listen to him all day. If he ever wanted to host a show, please give him the 10 to 2 shift. It would be absolutely fantastic. Like, oh my gosh, hey, just in, like, what did you call it? A shot of B2 or B12?
B12 shot right there.
No kidding. Just fantastic. Yeah, and he can get everything in very quickly. And the information that he can pass on, I just absolutely love. Fantastic individual. We're very lucky to have Liam in our area representing not just Ottawa Senators hockey, but hockey in general. He's known internationally and for good reason.
Well, we can talk about like all of the former players that are here with the, you know, Sens alumni, and also like there's players here that never played for the Senators but are, you know, lending their time. Like Larry Robinson's here today as
fantastic.
Well. Billy Smith from Perth is here as well today. So it's just it's a great event. And it's so nice to have events like this again on a consistent basis, and the Sens alumni reaching out and being a big part of it. And our good friend Aaron Robinson's been instrumental in putting all this together. So
yeah, 100%. I've said on numerous occasions over the years, the hockey rivers run very deep. And I'm not sure if there's a business or an industry in the world that has the type of flow to it that just connects everybody. And you don't have to be a professional hockey player to be connected in some way, shape, or form. It's just, Dean and I have a fun time on the air, you know, playing 6 degrees of, and you go down rabbit holes and you go, holy smokes, this guy's got a connection with this guy. And this guy back in 1994 had a connection or has a connection with this guy who's now coaching in Vegas or whatever it might be. It's just it's the best in the world. It really is. You embrace it, and we're very lucky to have it in our city.
Yeah, and one of the themes kind of that's been brought up, Gord, with Liam and with everyone that's stopped by with Lloydie so far today is just how, as this franchise is getting older, now they're beginning to obviously to build some history, and with the years that go by and guys that retire, more players join the alumni, and it's nice to see. It, obviously, give credit to the guys that have been here for day one and that have worked so hard with all the events. But it's nice to see them just continue to add, especially when you think about the fans that maybe don't remember or weren't born when this franchise first came into the league. So it's just nice to see them continue to add those guys.
Yeah, without question. And again, that's the beauty of being the type of people that hockey players are. They know from previous experiences that's the way it is. If you're a member of the team, if you're a member of the fraternity, you're part of it. And regardless of what level, you're going to be a part of it. And I won't say it's a duty, but it certainly is a privilege, and I think everybody takes it not as granted, but it takes it as a privilege to be asked to come out to do some of these events. It's, I mean, we've got so many in this area now that when you do get asked, it's a privilege to get asked, because there's only so many spots to golf, and Yeah, it's fantastic. And the nice thing is, I mean, let's give a little shout out here to the actual city and or area that we live in as well, because you need players like Chris Neal from out of town, Chris Phillips, Daniel Alfredson, for heaven's sakes, Hall of Famer here that has taken up his roots, his children born here, and deciding to stay here post-career. It says something about the city, too, as well.
Well, good for you, Gord. The way that you phrase that, you know, you could have just used the hip as an excuse, but, you know, sometimes there's only so many spots. You can't invite all the heavy hitters, right, Gord?
Well,
you could have just said,
that.
Oh, my hip, you know.
I'm far from that, but I can tell you, I've certainly had a great time doing many events over
absolutely.
The 31, 32 yeah. years that we've been doing this for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. You know, it's been a lot of fun here today, and it's great. Okay, let's get to some hockey, shall we, Gord?
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the latest on the sale process? Bruce Garriock reporting that Steve Apostolopoulos is out. He's grown frustrated with the process. And
yep.
Now, it also mentioning, you know, there are no rules to this, so he could be enticed back in just because you say you're out. But anyways, it speaks to, I think, fans are frustrated. The parties involved trying to buy this team are getting frustrated at this stage as they like to move this thing along.
Yeah, you know what, Steve? What comes to my mind immediately is not the word frustrated, but embarrassing. Here's a guy who just bid, $6 billion on the Washington Commanders of the National Football League, the most lucrative sports league in the history of sports leagues. And, you know, he just lost out on that bid. He lost it out to somebody who bid perhaps a little bit more. I don't know the intricacies of all that happened with that team and the bidding process. But to me, when you lose somebody like that, it's because he's kind of just washed his hands and said, enough is enough. And maybe it's a subplot to, or there's something that is part of a subplot to kind of weed out or frustrate people. To get them out of the process, I don't know. But it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever to have this go on, and then have what we thought was possibly the highest bidder saying, okay, enough is enough, I'm done. So what does that say to the other bidders now who maybe didn't bid as much money? Is the price now going to be lower than $1 billion? My guess is there's a good possibility that it will be. So maybe the NHL and the estate is not going to get as much money as they anticipated that they would get. I don't know. It's frustrating for sure. But to me, at this point now, it's also embarrassing. When you've got with people like Elliot Friedman saying, never before have we seen a process like this, and it's a shambles, or whatever words he used to describe it. And Elliot's a pretty credible guy. You have to, I mean, you raise an eyebrow to something like that. And I think we discussed this earlier in the week, and I said, well, you know what, there's a lot of moving parts, this, that, and everything else. Well, one of those moving parts has now possibly said goodbye, I'm done, don't bother including me in this. And that, to me, that's as much embarrassing as it is frustrating.
Yeah, there's certainly so many kind of angles and factors to this, but that said, I do feel for the fans that are frustrated by this, or even, as you said, maybe embarrassed by it too, because it seems like Sens fans haven't been able to catch a break for a number of years when it comes to kind of the off-ice type of stuff that's happened. But that said, you're still confident that at the end of the day, it's going to be obviously a solid ownership group, whoever ends up winning that bid?
Yes, obviously, for sure, Graham. I mean, there's people involved here that are anxious to get a hockey team and anxious to keep the team in hockey and run the team in hockey. And staying in this process for as long as they have, it's unfortunate that somebody has backed out, but staying in this process for as long as they have gives you the indication that they mean business, and without question, this process is going to end happily, as Gary Bettman has said, and certainly the fans and the city of Ottawa deserve that.
Okay, I want to move on to some other things here, but I'm just going to add this. AJ Perez with Front Office Sports has a little bit further reporting on this, sending out this information on his Twitter feed. Steve Apostolopoulos Apostolopoulos is out of the running for the Ottawa Senators, source confirms to Front Office Sports. But if he was frustrated with the process, he may have to look in the mirror or his bank account. Just like with the Commanders, there were questions about the money behind his Sens bid.
Then
he acknowledges Bruce was the first to report the Apostolopoulos departure. That's a tweet from A.J. Perez, who's been locked into the story as well. So anyways, we wait. Okay. We're still waiting.
Again, yep. Let's wait confidently that there is going to be an extremely solid owner. This team is going to have an extremely credible and solid ownership group, regardless of who it might be, and that's obviously huge news. It's going to end up being a good news story. I don't have any doubt about that.
Before we get to the Stanley Cup final, I want to ask you about another transaction by the Columbus Blue Jackets. They bring in Provorov. That makes them better. Babcock's coming in to coach the team. That's a pretty poorly kept secret, so he's coming in. There's rumors that they're trying to get Kevin Hayes from Philadelphia on a salary retention deal. Anyways, Jarmo Kekalainen's being very aggressive. They want to be better now. And so, like, Senators are a team trying to be better now. Looks like there's going to be more competition from teams who are outside the playoffs. Columbus means business, and now they've improved their blue line again.
Yeah.
They picked up Damon Severson in a sign-and-trade from the New Jersey Devils. So what do you make about how aggressive the Jackets have been and will continue to be by the sound of it?
Well, this is something that Dave Poulin predicted right yesterday morning when he was on TSN Mornings with JR and Simmer. He said, you know what, it's going to be active. Everything is going to get very active here between now and the draft, and then between the draft, the night of the draft and July 1st and shortly after. And there will be, because the UFA pool is not that great, there's going to be these kinds of transactions and the sign and trade. If you're willing to... if you're willing to pick up a salary that's already been established for a player like this, and it sounds like it's a pretty good deal for Damon Severson, who's a pretty good defenseman. Every time we've talked about, you know, what the Senators' needs are, a guy that's a little bit under the radar in New Jersey and Damon Severson, his name always seems to come up, right? And so... it's obviously come up in other markets as well and around the league, and obviously not enough room in New Jersey. So I love what Jarmo Kekalainen is doing, and it'll be interesting with Babcock at the helm. I think the fact that he's anxious to improve his team and get some of his good players like Johnny Gaudreau surrounded by good players, it's only going to be a huge plus for Columbus. And with that, you're right, Steve. Here's another team that really wants to improve and improve quickly. There aren't too many more teams like Philadelphia who are saying, we're going the other way. We're building, and it's in particular in the Eastern Conference, there's going to be a lot of competition. And while the Senators gained ground last year, this past season, by improving by 12 points, 92 the cutoff this past year. Well, it was 100 the year before that. Does it go back up to 100? And then if you're at 85 this year, do you need another 15 points, another 7 or 8 wins in your regular season to assure yourself a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference? It could very easily climb to that again this year with the level of competition that appears to be, like Columbus is doing, improving.
All right, on to the Stanley Cup Final. Florida stays alive. It looked like throughout a good chunk of that game, especially third period, it was just waiting for it to be 3-0. And then here comes Matt Tkachuk once again. And then they win it in OT. Just thoughts on the Florida Panthers making it a series.
Well, I hate to do this here, but I'll give credit to your co-host, Graham, and Steve, one of Steve's favorite expressions. Yeah, I know. This is killing me, believe me. But one of his favorite expressions, and I already heard you use it this morning, Steve, is start the car. You know, it sure felt like it was going to be Vegas up 3-0, and then somehow they pull one out of their you-know-whats, and... but this is what they've done. This is what Florida has done all playoff run. Ask the Boston Bruins, ask Toronto, ask Carolina. They've just found ways to do it. What are they now? 7-0 in overtime games this year in this playoff run. It's an incredible number. They've had Lady Luck on their side for sure, but they've also had key contributors and the key guys contributing. Obviously, Bobrovsky didn't have to do much in overtime last night, but he had to do an awful lot to get them to that position. And then Matt Tkachuk scores a huge goal with 2.5 to go to tie the hockey game. And Carter Verhaeghe, who's, you know, I think has shown that has a penchant for coming up when big moments really count. He really steps up to the plate. There's another overtime winner for him. So we have a series now, Stephen. And as predicted, I believe I did say last week, Vegas would go up 2-0 with huge wins and probably outscore Florida 12-4 in the first two games.
But thereabouts, you said that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, that's where we are, and we have a series. And the really nice thing about this is, we only have to wait one more night to get another game, right?
But then after that, depending how long, it's two full days between games the rest of the way.
Well, yeah, they need to travel, eh?
Yeah, there's that, Gord. Yeah, there is that. I want to bounce back here from last we spoke to you. We've had more information on the Alex DeBrincat front as a list of teams have been submitted by the agent Jeff Jackson to general manager Pierre Dorion of teams that he wouldn't mind going to, which means teams that I would sign a contract with, which would up the value if you're going to trade them. So, Gord, here is a question for you.
Yep.
Have you uttered your last meow during play?
Yeah, probably. Okay. I would think so. Stranger things have happened. Look, you never know. But I think once an agent does that, he's helping out the general manager and telling him that the player and the agent have obviously discussed various levels of destination and or various choices of destination, and it's the writing is on the wall, right? The player clearly, without saying it, has said he really doesn't want to be here in Ottawa. So if you can do him a favor, you're doing yourself a favor. If you can't, too bad, so sad. We have your rights, and we'll trade you where. Look, he can submit all the cities he wants to submit. But if a better deal comes up in Winnipeg, not going to happen. But if that be the case, you're off to Winnipeg, young man, and you'll spend the season in Winnipeg, and then you'll become a UFA. It's not going to happen. I'm just, you know, it's a bad example, but it's an example, and it could happen.
I don't have the, it's expired by now, but I'll basically paraphrase what the Webpool question of yesterday was. For you, Gord, and it was if the Senators are going to make a trade for Alex DeBrincat, what's the ideal return? And your options were goaltender, first-round pick. Goaltender, first-round pick, someone who's similar, like a 40-goal scorer-ish, some depth on the middle six kind of thing, depth forwards. Not depth, but somebody for sure that can come in and play like a second line role. What would you like to see in a return?
Well, you know what? It depends on if you're willing to sprinkle something in. I certainly would like to see a draft pick come back. I think the Senators would certainly like that as well. I would put a goaltender at the top of my list. If you can acquire a goaltender who can be, you can assure yourself that he is going to be a starting goaltender on your team and help you win games, then I would certainly look at that possibility first and foremost. I think there's going to be additional scoring by subtraction, if you will. If, the 27 goals of DeBrincat goes away, there's the possibility of, and I mentioned this earlier this week, Alex Formanton coming in. We've got a fully healthy Josh Norris, a 35-goal scorer already in this league, ready to come back healthy and ready to go. So you're going to get additional increased goal production from players like that. You can keep your fingers crossed that Matthew Joseph can contribute more than what he contributed this year, in particular at even strength. And you hope you can improve internally with improved offensive numbers. But with that in mind here, I would certainly go goaltending first and then a second-tier player, in other words, a third and fourth-line guy, or a couple of them, and a draft pick thrown in with one of those. Yeah, for sure.
So when you say go goaltending first, Gord, because there's always going to be goalies available, but it's are we talking about like somebody that might provide great value. Like the Leafs found that with Samsonov last year. Look what Aiden Hill's doing right now with the Vegas Golden Knights. Or are you saying, hey, listen, Juuse Saros, they were talking trade with the LA Kings before the trade deadline. Are we talking that level? What are you doing with Hellebuck in Winnipeg? Is that the kind of goalie trade you'd like to see go big like that?
Yeah, I would. And you know what? I don't think the I'll just very quickly veer off the tracks here for a quick second. Yunus Korpisalo, I think, is a UFA at the 1st of July. So he's a possibility as well. And you can go down that UFA market if that, if there's nothing else that you can accomplish through trade. You've mentioned some interesting names here, and Juuse Saros would be at the top of the list. I think that's safe to say here. He's just a fantastic talent, and he's shown that throughout the course of his career. I wouldn't hesitate. I heard you say that yesterday, and I'm shocked that there were discussions with the LA Kings about trying to trade Juuse Saros. That to me doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense. He's an all-star goaltender in this league.
Well, it is also interesting that, that's when David Poile was the general manager. Barry Trotz, well, I think Poile is still technically the general manager till the end of the month, right? But yeah. Barry Trotz is now the GM. So what was thought then could be different now. But, yeah, I was with you, and it was confirmed by the one that got me was when John Rosen, and you know John. He's an old friend of
absolutely.
AJ's. And John, used to work for the LA Kings. He was the LA Kings insider, and he confirmed it. He said, they were talking Saros. And you know what? They were talking Ekholm, and then he ended up getting traded to Edmonton. So it's like, all right, man, that was real. So
shocking.
If Juuse Saros is available, yeah, I'm with you. That's a phone call I'm making again and again and again to see if it could become reality.
Yeah, right. And you know as well as I do, fellas, that general managers, when they develop histories with other general managers and they're solid positive histories, and David Poile and Pierre Dorion have had a pretty good history together, and I think that stems from the relationship that David and Brian Murray had. Mike Fisher going to Nashville was a pretty good deal for David Poile. Matt Duchene going to Nashville was a pretty good deal for Pierre Dorion and saying goodbye to that contract, but another good one for David Poile. So, if there's a tiny bit of a history, then you know what? Maybe that history can continue here. But, I don't have in front of me the depth chart, the team depth chart of the Nashville Predators, but I believe last year Kevin Lankinen was their backup goaltender to Juuse Saros. And I'm not going into any NHL season with Kevin Lankinen being my number one guy.
All right. What's Gord Wilson doing for this weekend here? What do we got? We're pushing. It's 1:23. It's Friday afternoon. Is White Lake calling? What's going on?
Starsky Sunrise.
What's that, Rocket?
Did you try the Starsky Sunrise yet? The Corona Sunrise.
I have tried it. Yes, and in fact, somebody sent me that video yesterday. But I'm way ahead of the game here. I'm jumping. The Beatles broke up. It's probably the same time I had my first Corona Sunrise. It reminded me that it's a tasty beverage, so I'll be having one of those tonight, looking at perhaps a hazy sunset, not sunrise, but sunset off the dock, and we'll go from there. But cottage bound at some point sometime today. Yeah.
You know, just to be serious for a moment, Gord, did you spend any time, because you know about all the smoke that we've had here in the area, and up at Centennial Lake, not too far from where, closer than we are. Were you up that way? Did you experience any of that a little closer than what we have? No. Okay.
No, not at all. But it was pretty thick here in the Haven, that's for sure. But yeah, unfortunate for sure. You hate to see the video and the pictures that we did get a chance to see, especially anybody that lives up in cottage country. That's tough for sure.
Well, it's going to be tough for you sitting on the dock drinking whatever, Gord, so you enjoy that. Okay.
One thing I will be doing is adhering to the fire ban, which everybody should be, right?
All right.
That's my words of advice here today.
Yeah, you'll replace it with fireball instead. So.
Oh, yes, that's another tasty beverage.
Yes,
yeah,
okay.
And unfortunately, some of the older kids discovered that product at the cottage. couple of times.
Oh, did they? Oh.
Oh, they did, yes. Anyway.
Just get into it and leave us another voicemail.
Okay.
Make sure you text us ahead of time. Don't answer your phone.
Don't answer your phone. Yeah, yeah. Okay, fellas. Have a good weekend, boys.
You too. Talk to you Monday.
Thank you.
It's Gordon Wilson joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. And I know I haven't even looked at the text. Okay, we all brain fart. Gord knows that Duchesne was traded to Columbus and he ended up signing with Nashville. I haven't even opened it yet, but we all have a little brain fart moment. So easy. It's a weekend. It's a weekend. We're easing into it. We're back in a moment from the Sens
35 minutes, Woody.
At the Marshes on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
She's thinking about the Princess Cinderella. The outlaws and the hustlers and the heroes that never seem to fall. It doesn't matter.
All right, 132.
It doesn't matter what the outcome.
I asked Creature how he was feeling at the start of the show, and he was like, all right. I said, well, Creature, by 2 o'clock it's your weekend. You'll be feeling great, and I can feel the vibes. Your mood went to next level when you heard Liam's voice, and you have not come down off that cloud.
I was saying to Gord off the air. Actually, he started it. I usually say something funny or whatever when I greet Gord when I first call him, and it changes every time. This time I just called him Legend. I'm like, hey, Legend. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm not Legend. He's like, the guy you just had on was Legend. And so we started talking about that, and then we're just, man, like, you could be having a terrific show, you could be having a brutal show, mediocre, like, insert 20 minutes of Liam in there, and it's just like, it's unbelievable, the energy level that the guy brings every time. And, he kind of pushed me forward, pushed me towards 2 o'clock.
Yes. Red Bull gives you wings. let's mix in some text messages.
Liam's
here.
Definitely stronger than Red Bull. Like,
yes,
it's like a case of Red Bull.
There's something else in there as well, maybe. Yeah, yeah. We'll top that thing up.
Yeah.
LA won't trade their number one goaltender. I'm not sure what other number one tender is available, however. Now, hey, listen. Whoa, hang on.
Huh?
They don't have a number one goaltender right now. He's unsigned. That's what Gord was saying. If Korpisalo... He could be an unrestricted free agent, but we'll continue. If they find one, they would need to give up current roster player. Having said that, if the Sens don't find new ownership by the end of July, I believe the league buys them out for the resale without a clause stating the Sens stay in Ottawa, only to sell the team faster with a lot more interest. Okay, that's a great take. Oh, my.
Someone else is ready for the weekend.
I think we're on the other end of that here. Put it down. Okay, you're gonna burn your lip. You know, it's out, okay? You know, roll another one. You're gonna scar yourself here. Settle down. All right. PSA to all Sens fans getting frustrated by the sale process. There's a book called 100 Things Every Sens Fan Should Know Before They Die that was written by the real host of the show. People should go read that book. See the obstacles the Sens had to go through to become an NHL team, comes from Enzo. And referring to our good friend Chris Stevenson, who wrote that book. Yep. It is.
It loves it. But
one guy out of a million. Who the hell is Chris Stevenson?
There are fans who don't like
who is Chris Stevenson?
I'm just saying, Ottawa Sun, a reporter. He was going to bat for it this week.
One guy.
Bratton, your buddy.
One guy.
Chris Stevenson. One guy. We had CJ on earlier this week. Yeah, it's there's a free plug for the book. Good book from CJ that he wrote a number of years ago, and we've often joked with him since then. So I think we were, what, when that book came out, 25-ish years, something thereabouts? The stuff that's happened in the last 4 or 5 years, you could write another 200 things you should know about this team before you die.
Now, remember we used to joke about the 100 things that happened, like, alone in that... What, 2017, 18
right
season?
After the book came out.
Yeah. It's like, you need 100 things. Like that was the joke, like, months after it came out. Now it's like, yeah, there's more than 100.
it's like an old Guinness Book of World Records book, right, that's dated. a lot of stuff has been happening since then, so CJ's got to get on that. But, you know, to Enzo's point, yeah, it's a good – if you want to know history of frustration, also another read Bruce Firestone's book as well, talking about the process as the original owner of the Sens and the original team that put that together that included, you know, Randy Sexton and Cyril Leader and Jeff Kyle and all that group as well. It's absolutely crazy. Like, as we talk about where the rink's going to go now, like, LeBreton was the first choice back then. And like, a lot of people don't understand this. That was the first thing that, hey, look, there's a lot of land right beside downtown. Why don't we approach the NCC? They did. And the NCC, there was an on-the-record and an off-the-record answer. And this is in Roy Firestone, Bruce Firestone's book.
Who's ready for the weekend?
Exactly. There was I've watched a lot of sports TV over the years. So there was an on-the-record and off-the-record answer to that. The on-the-record answer was going to be, yes, this is great. We'll take it under advisement. This is good. Yeah, continue to get your investors in place and blah, 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 blah. Positive. Off the record. Not in a million years. It's just not going to happen. Not prepared to do this. You'll be tied up in red tape forever. And so it died on the vine. The NCC wasn't ready back then to do it at all. So you go to another option, and the other option is where the rink is now. And try to do that kind of a deal. And that's exactly what happened. And it's funny. That's when this whole rink thing, when it started, what, 7 years ago, Graham? About that? 7, 8 years?
Flat circle, Lloyd.
Whatever. Okay. I was like, when I first heard the news, I said, BS, man. NCC? No way. No way. That land has just been sitting there, tied up, for years and years and years. There's no appetite. It's not going to happen. But the fact that it was initiated this time by the NCC, they're the ones that initiated the process. Like, okay, this is real this time. And here we are. Like, if it worked the first time, the Sens would be playing there now. Sorry to pick at a scab, everybody. The rink could be operational, and we'd be going to games there now. But we're not. But the rink will be downtown, whether it's there, Bayview Yards, whatever, at some point. But thank you, Enzo. Yes, gave us an excuse to plug a book for the real host of the show here. Tyrell writes, L.A. needs to keep Corposalo. They have a great young core in front of them. They should keep them. Sens fans deserve to be done with this process. I feel like it's one thing after another. Such a great season, many strides of improvement, but it's being undermined and overshadowed by the process of selling the team. Comes from Tyrell. I agree with you, Tyrell. They Kings cleared out some money. They got Cal Peterson off to Philadelphia in that three-team trade. And they ate a little bit of Provorov on the way to Columbus. So that's how they got Gavrikov signed in a two-year deal. It would unless they're in on Carter Hart or something. Corposalo is a fine number one goaltender. It is. I think they do very well just to try to get him signed. He came in, played well for them. What is he, like 29 years old? They do well just to sign Corposalo. But if he is available, then other teams would certainly be, there'd be a market for him in unrestricted free agency. I think there'd be multiple teams. He could drive his price quite well if he wanted to as well. All right, we'll take a break. One final segment straight ahead as we are live from the Marshes at the Sens Alumni Golf Tournament to benefit Soldier On and First Assist. It's been a great day. We got one more segment still to come before we turn it over to The Drive coming up at 2 on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Somebody's ready for the weekend. Dry ice, smoke, creatures on a speaker, two-fisting it. shirt might be off. Who knows? Who knows what time it is? Doesn't matter. All right. We're almost out of show here. It's been a lot of fun. A couple things I want to hit on here before we'll call it the day here at the Marshes at the Sens Alumni Tournament. The Shane Doan news is official. The Toronto Maple Leafs, Brad Treliving, the new general manager of the Leafs, has hired Coyote Great, and was with the organization so long he was a Jet before they went to the desert years ago. But just synonymous with hockey in Arizona, Shane Doan. Left the organization, the Coyotes, a couple years ago. He has now been, well, he's been still associated with the Coyotes, but now back into a meaningful hockey role as he's done some work with Hockey Canada. He is an advisor to the general manager now with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So the Leafs have put out a news release. The Coyotes have put out a thank you, Shane, release. But initially when this news started to break yesterday, now there is a relationship. Brad Treliving cut his teeth in the NHL working for the Coyotes. So that's when Shane Doan was playing. So he knows Shane Doan. There's a relationship there. They're friends. They've worked together. So not uncommon that you try to reach out to people in new positions that you know from your past that you're comfortable working with. So there's that. But Austin Matthews put on social media immediately yesterday that that's his childhood hero. And he's very excited that Shane Doan's with the Leafs. Isn't that not mission accomplished? Because he's due an extension. He could sign that July 1st. And this is maybe just a smart play by Brad Treliving and the Leafs creature to bring in the guy that you absolutely need to extend, bring in his hero to come work for you just ahead of that negotiation.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. sorry, distracted by getting trolled.
Tell Bunda to leave.
No, it's our Ben McCoy, actually. I think it can't hurt. I still think ultimately his decision, if it's to stay, if it's to explore something new, won't be entirely impacted by that anyways, but although it can't hurt. I think when I hear this news, I think more what that means to the Coyotes with losing a guy like Doan. Like that would be like Alfie going to work for another team right now, I think, right? Like just considering what he means to them and just what's happened with that franchise forever. And what's about to happen on the horizon? I don't know. I think if I were a Coyote fan, I'd see that and I would not be happy.
Yeah, you're right. I was looking at it strictly from the Leaf perspective, but then there's the other end of it because you don't know what the future of the Coyotes are.
Not everything's about the Leafs, Lloyd.
Are pretty disillusioned right now, and now he's like, oh, great. Now, air quotes, our Alfie is leaving and he's actually working for another team that he previously had no association with whatsoever. There's no link to the Toronto Maple Leafs for Shane Doan other than Brad Treliving is the recent new hire as general manager. All right, something to ponder as they're trying to get Austin Matthews to sign an extension. They can officially do that as of July 1st.